Welcome back or welcome to the Single Track Podcast. I'm your host, Finn Melanson, and you know, there's a famous quote and it goes something like, there are decades when nothing happens and there are weeks where decades happen. And that is how it feels in the trail running world right now. What an absolutely fascinating time to be alive. In this episode, I am excited to share with you a conversation with Steve Brammer, co-race director of the Hong Kong 100K, and one of the architects of the World Trail Majors, which launches today. Before we get into all the details, though, this episode is brought to you by NAAQ. NAAQ, spelled N-A-A-K, is the presenting nutrition sponsor for this show. Head over to their website, NAAQ.com, and use code SINGLETRACK15 at checkout for 15% off your next order. Lately, I have been stepping outside my comfort zone, training for a road marathon at the beginning of December, and I have been adding their watermelon drink mix to my bottles. It is also, again, coming up on winter time here in Salt Lake City, and I've really enjoyed mixing a hot cup of their salted soup drink mix in the evenings, sort of as a replacement for tea. I don't know. I like it. I dig it. But anyways, go check out NAAQ. It is performance nutrition geared specifically to the ultra trail runner. I think you'll like it when you try it. And yeah, with that, let's get on to the conversation with Steve Brammer. Steve Brammer, it's great to have you on the Single Track Podcast. How are you doing today?
Really well, thanks, Finn. Great to see you. Hi, everybody.
Yeah, these are interesting times, to say the least, in the sport of trail running. And I understand that you have interesting news to contribute to these times. So what can you share with us today? What is the announcement that you can make?
It's the announcement of the launch of the World Trail Majors. So nine races around the world, nine of the best trail races around the world, joining hands, forming an alliance to put on superb races together, to really provide fantastic adventures and experiences for trail runners everywhere to come and enjoy. So really excited about it. And yeah, delighted to be able to talk about it finally rather than keep it under wraps.
There's certainly a lot to break down here. And it's funny, I was scrolling my Twitter feed earlier today. And as I was, you know, going through it all, I was seeing a lot of these old graphics from the Ultra Trail World Tour. And what you described seems to be somewhat honoring that old format in our sport. Is that sort of the mission here, to revive a format that did exist fairly recently in our sport, you know, 5-6 years ago?
Sort of. So of the nine races that are founder members of the World Trail Majors, six of the race directors were in the Ultra Trail World Tour. And so I'll go back to why that is in part, but it means rather than reviving it, no, what we're doing is we've taken the idea, the kind of alliance of really good trail races, but then trying to do it properly. Because it was a great idea, we thought, and it was fantastic to be part of certainly the early years Ultra Trail World Tour, the kind of camaraderie, the friendship, frankly, between the race directors and the sharing of expertise and know-how and support for one another. It was a really good experience from that perspective. But what we're at great pains to change and to emphasize is that the decision-making and the way that we move forward as a group is going to be absolutely non-hierarchical. So absolutely all races are equal. You know, each one will have just as much say in decision-making as the others. So a completely democratic structure, if you like, which could be messier, but is fairer. And that's certainly the way that, you know, we would want to be in an organization where everyone has a fair say and everybody sort of values each of the races' opinions equally. So six races that were Ultra Trail World Tour, maybe we'll get onto that also later, but three fantastic races that are joining for the launch, and yeah, we're in really good company and super excited about it.
I want to come back to the governance later in the conversation because, you know, these words like non-hierarchical and inequality, sort of the flat organizational format, that certainly piques my interest, especially in this era of, you know, consolidation in the sport and vertical integration, all these just interesting economics taking place. But you mentioned that there are 9 races, 6 of which used to be in the Ultra Trail World Tour. What are these 9 races?
Okay, so I'll take you through them in a on a calendar-based list. So first, 18th to 21st of January, the Anta Hong Kong 100. So that's the race here in Hong Kong, and it'll be the 14th edition, and we're full steam ahead in terms of preparation. And then 10th and 11th Feb, 2024, Black Canyon Ultras. So Jamil Curry, Aravaipa, running. So of course, Javelina used to be in the Ultra Trail World Tour. And in World Trail Majors, yeah, it'll be the Black Canyon Ultras. Also February, so late Feb, Trans Gran Canaria. So North Face Trans Gran Canaria. So that's 21st, 25th of February in Spain, 128 Ks. And it's a really epic race that needs no introduction. And then in April, we've got Madeira Island Ultra Trail, so Mute, and also the Mount Fuji 100. So it used to be called Ultra Trail Mount Fuji, but has recently launched a name change for reasons that we may or may not get into. So yeah, April has Madeira Island and Fuji. And then June sees us in, near Neuchâtel in Switzerland for the Swiss Canyon Trail. And also in south of London on the South Downs Way, South Downs National Park in the UK. So those two races in June. And then in July, we're in Quebec at the Quebec Mega Trail. So 100 miler there. And again, epic trails long-standing race and fantastic experience. And then the ninth and final, so the bringing the curtain down on the 2024 World Trail Majors is the RMB Ultra Trail Cape Town, and that's scheduled tentatively for 24th, 26th November 2024. So off to Cape Town for the closing race of the 2024 World Trail Majors.
Certainly an all-star, beautiful lineup of races, sort of capturing very interesting spirit globally as well. You know, earlier in the conversation, you said that at least part of the initiative here is to line up exactly that, races that inspire trail runners across the globe for various reasons, all in their own unique ways. But when you think about the question of what exactly are the World Trail Majors, can you get more in depth about, you know, why that exact namesake? Are you borrowing it all from the concept of sort of like the marathon majors in the road running world? And then like, what's the draw to come to this as well?
Yeah. So in terms of why these races are particularly attractive in my humble opinion, a lot of it is about the authenticity. So they're all races that are organized by teams that are super passionate about trail running, people who've been in and around it for a long time and who really care about it. The races that are put on as passion projects, essentially. So they're not just after your dollar. They're not just treating you like a consumer. They really want to make sure that all runners have a fantastic experience, a real adventure when you come. And also that they're authentic as to their location. So you come to Hong Kong 100 and you know, you'll know you're in Hong Kong. You'll meet the community. They'll be at the checkpoints. They'll be at the start and finish. You'll really get that sort of local vibe, local food, it's not homogenized at all. And same with all of the races. So sort of proudly of and from their local communities and proudly welcoming the world to races that are an experience that of that location. And the anecdote that springs to mind for me was my wife, Janet, who's the co-race director here at Hong Kong 100, and I were lucky enough to be at the very first edition of Mount Fuji 100, so then Ultra Trail Mount Fuji. And we were lucky enough to be staying in the a ryokan, like a guest house, Japanese guest house, that was being used as well, in part by the organizers as their base. So we saw that they were working so hard on the race that they weren't getting any sleep. They were working around the clock as a team. And yet at the same time, they were being very patient and friendly towards us as sort of people from overseas who for whom it's not always easy to understand what's going on. But so we had an amazing race experience. It's kind of really hard, 100 mile and nearly killed me. But we also felt very embedded almost and enmeshed in Japanese culture. The food was amazing. The people were incredibly friendly. The places were beautiful, and so different from what we were used to. It was a really, really authentic experience and one that we'll never forget. And that's what all of the races are going to do their very best to ensure, that every runner enjoys that kind of, yeah, really authentic experience of the place, rather than homogeneity and trying to make everything look the same. No, on the contrary, we'll kind of take pride in the difference and the, you know, both culturally and in terms of location, geography, you know, what we have to offer in terms of race course. So yeah, there's a mindset behind the races and behind the concept of the World Trail Majors that is to really provide a different, authentic, local experience, and an incredible experience for trail racers from everywhere.
It's really interesting what you said there about homogeneity and sort of operating in a fashion to avoid that and making sure that each race is unique. I guess one of my questions off of that is it going to be a challenge then for these races to work together? And in what ways do they work together, A, to support each other in as, you know, helpful a way as possible, but maybe not too much seep into each other's operations or cultures and what makes those races great?
Yeah, and it's interesting trying to, you know, when we have calls, and we're on sort of our 10th fortnightly call now as a group, and we've got translators on, and we've got, you know, folks from all around the world. And yeah, occasionally it can be a bit like herding cats. But in a way, that's part of the fun. You know, it's great that we do sometimes see things differently and that we're encouraged to speak up if that's the case. But what we share is, yeah, the passion for the sport, a desire to put on races that are just the best possible experience and adventure for every runner. So it would be easier if we all thought the same and spoke the same language and came from the same place. But it's far more fun to be as we are with, yeah, all sorts of languages, people from everywhere, different views on a lot of things. But on the stuff that really matters here in terms of the kind of runner safety, runner experience, we align very quickly. And it's great to see, actually, as soon as you get onto the big topics of how to put on a wonderful race that really caters for the trail running community, we're very quick to align on those sort of big ticket questions.
From like a tactical standpoint or from a resource standpoint, can runners and people that are observing this series of races, can they expect to see sort of like a single team working across 9 different races to coordinate things, or resources being shared, or advertising dollars, or technology, like sort of behind the scenes, what does like resource sharing look like, for example?
Yeah, so we'll certainly be supporting each other in terms of communications and social media, translation, that sort of thing, and we've got a team that is working for the World Trail Majors based in Canary Islands in Spain, and so you'll see the style of from the team in the Canary Islands in terms of the some of the communications that are very much joint, but we'll all be running around working for each other as well in terms of, yeah, the comms and so on. In terms of other aspects of race organization, there's a lot of, yeah, sharing, you know, what's the best timing system you've seen, what's the best registration system, you know, how might I best, I don't know, introduce certain aspects of photography and so on and so forth. So a lot of kind of know-how, sharing, expertise behind the scenes and so on. And again, lots of different perspectives because we're from all around the world. But no, you're not going, it's not going to, suddenly you're not going to have race directors from Hong Kong in charge of a race in Switzerland. Absolutely not. No way. And we'll probably be there and we'll be conscious of carbon footprint, but some of us will be at each other's races, and I can't wait for that, to be honest. Welcoming people to Hong Kong 100 in January from the World Trail Majors, I couldn't be happier about that prospect. And yeah, I dare say I might have another go at Mount Fuji or turn up in the Canary Islands very soon, and so on and so forth. Yeah, I'd love to be in Black Canyon in February as well, and so on and so forth. So I'm really, really tempted by the races, but I'm trying to see it, and we're trying to encourage people to see it as a project for a lifetime rather than a project for a year. So, you know, I would like to do those eight races in addition to Hong Kong 100 over the years, but I think it might be a bit much to try and do them all in a year, so to speak. And again, in terms of carbon footprint, that's not really the aim at all, but to pick them off one at a time and try and over a lifetime take part in all of these races, you know, for me it certainly would be a dream.
You know, it's interesting when I look at this list of races, almost every single one of them has a storied history. They've got widespread or at least significant regional name recognition in the sport. I could be totally wrong, but from what I've seen, most of these races have not struggled to get people to the start line. So I'm curious, what's the value out here for a race like Black Canyon or a race like Cape Town or a race like Hong Kong 100K, given that you already are operating with so many sort of marketing advantages and like, you know, local advantages, et cetera, what is the value add, do you see?
Yeah, I think you're right. The races are, you know, are mostly full to oversubscribed already. But there's a value in feeling part of something bigger, part of an alliance, part of a network, so that you do have expertise to tap into when you need it, so that you do share each other's communications and so on, so that we together are much, much stronger when we're all, you know, trying to move the sport and move our own events in a particular direction. Yeah, having an alliance of great race directors from everywhere also helping with this project is really powerful, I think, potentially.
Is there anything within this majors format that is, you know, going to be news to pro runners out there, you know, around like ranking systems or scoring or prize money? Because like one of the issues I wonder about is just how like a lot of athletes are bonused to go to certain races and they're incentivized to go to certain races. And while there may be these nine races in the major series, you know, it's not reflected in their contracts yet to be incentivized to go there. So talk about how this could be, you know, a format that's hospitable to like the pros in our sport.
So one really important point that is a little bit different, I think, from a lot of the other series is that you only need to take part in, well, to finish two races to qualify for the ranking series in the World Trail Majors. But in fact, if you do three or four or nine, it's only your best two that will count. So we're not trying to incentivize runners to sort of keep doing all, you know, to do seven in order to try and win the thing. You know, two really good shots at it and you've got a really good chance. And again, the idea is we don't want to be seen to be encouraging you know, pro athletes to fly to nine races a year. So we think that's quite important, that it only two races and you will qualify, you'll rank, and yeah, not really incentivizing you to then do a third or a fourth or a fifth in a year. And there will be prize money at the end of the series. Now, I'm not authorized to say exactly how much it will be, but it's there will be you know, a decent chunk of prize money available to the people who perform best in the World Trail Majors over the course of the year. So that I think that's for some of the races that's new, for some of the races that's long been the case, but it feels like absolutely the right thing to do, and it's something that hopefully will excite some of the best runners in the world.
And just so I understand, it'll be based on any given runner's top two best results within the 9-race series?
Exactly that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Thanks to Rabbit for sponsoring this show. Rabbit makes my favorite trail running apparel, and I strongly encourage you to head over to their website and use code SINGLETRACK20 at checkout for 20% off your next order. All summer long, I was using their FKT shorts on major outings, and now that it's coming up on wintertime here in Salt Lake City, I am looking forward to more of their lifestyle line to stay warm. And my favorite article of clothing at this time of year is their jog-around sweatpants. Trust me, go order a pair. You won't regret it. Also, thank you to Oladance. Oladance makes headphones tailored almost perfectly to the ultra trail running community. Their headphones have up to 19 hours of battery life, which I confirmed this summer on the 100-mile wilderness. And their open-ear design means you can wear them for a long time, seemingly forever, without experiencing any ear pain. So head over to their website, oladance.com, and use code ST in capital letters at checkout to get $30 off a pair of their OWS2 headphones. With that, let's get back to the conversation. I guess I should have asked this earlier, but just for further context, what prompted the decision to create this series, and perhaps more specifically, what problem were you trying to solve in the process?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And actually, we've been thinking about it for ages, even when we were in the Ultra Trail World Tour. I mean, I probably shouldn't get into the sort of later stages of Ultra Trail World Tour when it was fragmenting. And I think everybody in it could tell, everybody from outside could probably tell as well. And at that stage, a number of the race directors of races in the Ultra Trail World Tour were talking to each other about, well, should we go our own way, take the best races and set up individually? And then Spartan happened and COVID happened, and it was only sort of, I guess, once the pandemic was clearly in the rearview mirror that we kind of took up that conversation again and decided that it really was worthwhile. Partly, again, the point about being stronger together, and if you've got a group of race directors whose philosophy aligns, that sharing resources with one another is kind of a no-brainer, really. And so it's months and months ago that we started talking, that the three races that first had the conversation were Madeira Island, Trans Gran Canaria, and Hong Kong 100. And then we reached out gradually to the other races that have joined. What was very, very interesting was that in each case, it's sort of a WhatsApp or a phone call. We've been really pleased by how quickly people came back and said, hell yeah, I'd love to be involved. Count me in. Where do I sign? It's been great, the level of enthusiasm and how much energy and good ideas that have been brought to the table by the other races as well. So it's been really good fun pulling the races together, or recruiting, as we sometimes refer to it. And we've been really pleased by the response from races that we've reached out to.
You know, not just UTMB, but you mentioned Spartan earlier. Lifetime is another brand. Even native brands to the sport like Hoka and Salomon. The list goes on. Over the last 5 to 10 years, there have been many initial attempts, many ongoing attempts to consolidate the sport, to create some sort of version of a championship. Everyone is jockeying for status. Everyone's trying to funnel all the sport's best athletes to, one given series, one championship event. And it seems to me, we're recording this in November 2023, that in many ways we're sort of back to square one when it comes to trying to create like a coherent end-to-end season-long narrative in this sport for fans who want to see the Courtneys of the world, the Jim Walmsleys of the world do battle together as often as possible. This World Majors, you know, phenomenon is sort of another addition to that plate. What are your thoughts on just how much optionality there is in the sport right now? And do you think that this World Majors idea could ultimately win out and be sort of the de facto series that, you know, people want to run year after year? And how long will that take, do you think?
Honestly, we're kind of just going to do our thing, I think, do what we think is right for the sport, what we think is right for our races. And just so put something on that has a philosophy that we think reflects the trail running community's values. And that's sort of all we can do, really, is our best and what we think is right for the sport, for the runners, for races. And whether it will succeed or not, I think it will. I think there is an appetite for it. I think we've seen, for example, a lot of people prepared to speak out with what was perceived as a pretty underhand development in terms of the Whistler UTMB situation and the outpouring. I think I read Megan Hicks's article, and it's tens of thousands of posts by trail runners in the last few weeks, kind of decrying what seemed to have gone on there. I think there is a massive appetite for trail running done kind of from the heart, with passion, but also with fairness and a sense of all trail running organizers, really, we're colleagues. We're trying to build the sport. We're trying to put on the best events for runners. We're trying to do that safely. We're trying to do it in a way that people are going to really enjoy. So it's, again, we're just going to keep trying to do that. And I think there is a massive appetite out there amongst trail runners for races from the heart, races for the right reasons. And I don't think that necessarily trying to kind of control the sport, trying to buy up, own and then and sort of homogenize is what a lot of trail runners want from their race experience. I think they're looking for more variety. I think they're looking for more meaning, if you like, races that do a lot in the community that maybe fund local charities and so on and so forth. Because that's kind of where a lot of us came from. Certainly in Hong Kong, the kind of original trail running scene, it was charity races. It was Oxfam Trail Walker and then another one for I don't know, education charities in China and an environmental charity. So, you know, go back 20 years, and if you were a trail runner in Hong Kong, almost all of those races you were doing were by NGOs to raise money, because who would run 50 kilometers without that being a sponsored exercise for a charity in those days? And so I think, you know, coming from that scene, if you like, it's easy to try and keep an eye on what you can be doing with a race that has a platform like Hong Kong 100, you know, in the community. And so, you know, for example, last week we wrote checks for $100,000 to a bunch of local charities that are doing stuff in the community here or in Nepal with education and so on. And I think that's sort of where we all came from in trail running and where we would be happy to see the races continue to be very connected to community projects and it sounds cliche, but giving back, doing something worthwhile for the community and really feeling that you make a contribution and it's more than just pounds, shillings and pence in the, you know, at the end of the day after putting these races on.
You know, you mentioned it earlier in the conversation that the plan for the World Trail Majors has sort of been ramping up for a while now, but many fans and runners who are watching and listening to this, they will interpret this announcement and this series formation as either a reaction or a response to what you just talked about earlier, the recent UTMB fallout in Whistler. What would you say to that?
I wish we could have pulled together nine races and got ready for launch in a kind of 2 or 3 week period. But yeah, there's no way on earth we could have done that. So no, complete coincidence that the launch of the World Trail Majors is just a couple of weeks after the Whistler UTMB Ironman thing blew up. So, I mean, obviously we watched it closely and I think there are, it's obviously something that means an enormous amount to trail runners worldwide, but no, completely coincidental. Fascinating topic, but one that's probably way too big for this conversation, I guess.
And I'm looking forward to having a more in-depth convo on it, hopefully at a later date. And I also want to come back to what you were saying a moment ago about, for example, the Hong Kong 100Ks, the extent of your community involvement outside the race, which I think is very admirable and interesting. But there's just maybe two more questions that I want to ask you just around the topics of this conversation before we close up. And you said something really interesting earlier that when you look at a race that's inside the World Trail Majors, you as a consumer, as someone that's maybe going to register for one of the races, you can kind of rest assured that these are passion projects and it's not just a business play. And I thought that was a really important statement. And I want to unpack that a bit more because, we're in this moment in time where a lot of new runners are coming into the sport and they aren't aware of the history. They aren't aware of what makes a race necessarily special. And they don't have the experience or the tools to differentiate between what's good and bad. They're new entrants, right? And I heard Bob Crowley from ITRA a while back talk about the importance of educating this influx of people. Maybe this will be continued on in the World Trail Majors, but how can you tell? Like, given how much experience you have as a race director, sort of being involved in ITRA to some extent, for those that are watching and listening, how can you tell the difference between a passion project race and a race that maybe is just in it for the money?
Yeah. Once you've done it, you'll know. You can tell when it's done from the heart. You can tell when someone's heart isn't really in it in terms of volunteers, in terms of the sort of going the extra mile, in terms of organization to ensure that people are having the best experience. Ideally you want to be seen as having thought of everything as a race director. Now, of course, you can't. You do your best and you try your hardest, but it's that sense that the race directors have left no stone unturned in terms of providing a really awesome experience for a runner. And I think you know when you see it. And I thought, I must admit, when going back to the Whistler sort of controversy, one of the things that really cut through, there were a lot of people from everywhere weighed in on that. The one that I thought cut through with the most sort of vision was Ellie Greenwood. Powerhouse runner and a really trusted voice in the community. But the way that she described how trail runners should respond to the current environment with making informed choices and voting with your feet and finding the races that are run responsibly and perhaps for the right reasons, I thought was a really powerful statement. I don't know whether it's possible to sort of link to that in the notes
conversation,
but I that for me, of all the communications I saw around it, and there were so many, it became a full-time job just keeping tabs on it. It was the Ellie Greenwood summary and analysis of the position that I thought was the most insightful. and helpful in terms of trying to make sense of it, of the whole thing.
Maybe one more question before I want to come back to the Hong Kong 100K, because you know this the majors is going to open with this race, and I think it's a really cool one. But coming back to one of the things that you're going to be testing in this World Trail Majors is a non-hierarchical management structure. And I know that, you know, if we've got into sort of like all the science of that, there isn't necessarily a perfect format. There are pros and cons to every single one out there, but you're trying this sort of flat organization model. And you sort of hinted at the fact that it wasn't always this way, even in the Ultra Trail World Tour times. So to the extent that you can go into it, talk about what inspired you to try this model this time around.
Yeah, it was, again, it is kind of a response to having been in the Ultra Trail World Tour, where a lot of the real smarts around the room when we'd have a meeting of the races, they were very often not the bigger, more powerful races where, you know, the kind of solutions to issues, the most eloquent description of the path forward and so on. They very often were from the smaller races, not the larger ones. You felt as if a lot of the real expertise in those rooms wasn't necessarily where you'd have predicted it might be. At the very beginning, it was quite democratically done, but unfortunately, the Ultra Trail World Tour turned into a little bit of a plaything for UTMB, essentially, and that's when people started looking for alternatives and so on. But and it's as a response to that when putting together the World Trail Majors, everyone involved has been at real pains to say this is a flat hierarchical structure. All the races in it are equal. And it's messier and probably less efficient in terms of decision making, but I think it'll make much better decisions for that reason.
Steve, it's been a pleasure to chat with you today. I really appreciate the insights, and we always appreciate anybody that's in the trenches trying to make some sort of change in the sport. You're certainly right there in it. Let's talk finally about the Hong Kong 100K. And for anyone that is in the audience that's curious but has not been to Hong Kong before, has not been and done this race, talk about the terrain, talk about the ambiance, talk about the people. Why should they sign up? Why should they make the trip over there?
Well, how long have you got? so we first started doing Hong Kong 100 back in 2011. So it's 14th edition in January 2024. So the couple of things that surprise people who aren't from Hong Kong about the trail running here. So it's something like 40% of Hong Kong's territory is country park. So we've got hills, nothing above 1,000 meters, real hills, beautiful beaches, beautiful trails around reservoirs and through forests and by the side of rivers and so on. And so absolutely beautiful scenery that people are really surprised by, because you think of Hong Kong and you think of skyscrapers and Jackie Chan and Bruce Lee movies and so on, and maybe really good food. Well, we've got all of that. But what we've also got, and that surprises people, is, yeah, this incredible scenery. And so the Hong Kong 100 goes through the very best of it. So after about 15K, sort of 15K to about 30K, you're running across beaches and then up over sort of cliffs and headlands and peninsulas and back onto beaches again. And then you come back inland and go through the sort of the rump of some hills. But on down to your left, you have the whole city, sort of Kowloon and Hong Kong. So one of the world's most incredible skylines. And then down to your right, you have the probably the most modern and amazing racetrack, so horse racing venue on the planet. And again, and then sort of towns off to your right. But you're on a kind of ridge line of mountains heading out to the west. And then you go over the biggest peak in Hong Kong, so Tai Mo San, which is just under 1,000 meters high. And then drop down to the finish line. So you'll have done 103K, you'll have done about 5,700 meters of climbing, and you'll have been on beaches, forests, lots of steps. So the late on, the steps is one of the hallmarks of the course. You'll have run past monkeys. You've probably seen the odd wild boar as you go through. You'll have seen countless black kites, egrets. So the nature of the wildlife is amazing. And then at the checkpoints, as you wind your way from the east part of the New Territories to the west, you'll have met some of the kindest, most generous spirited, most energetic volunteers that you ever could hope to meet. And they'll have loved looking after you. And we'll welcome you with a hug and some disco music at the finish line. And hopefully you'll want to come back every year for the rest of your trail running career. So that's it in a nutshell. So yeah, beautiful scenery. We have 1,000 volunteers, well, over 1,000 volunteers, for 3,000 runners over the whole of the week. So big volunteer to runner ratio, and they will take you to their hearts. Hopefully you'll fall in love with them and Hong Kong, and become a regular visitor to these shores in the future.
Excellent. Well, yeah, a perfect picture was painted there. I will say I'm trying to make it work on our end from a media standpoint to try to be there this January for the race. I think it's a super cool thing. And we want to support this concept. We'll make sure to link to everything in the show notes, the World Trail Majors, the Hong Kong 100K, all of the relevant social media news on this, that Ellie Greenwood tweet for sure. Is there anything else that you want to leave the audience with? Any final thoughts, any calls to action before we go?
No, just to thank you very much for the opportunity to discuss the World Trail Majors, and to let everybody know that a warm welcome awaits, whether that's at Hong Kong 100 or any of the other 8 races. We can't wait to welcome you to the start line, and Finn, we'll see you, I hope, at the start line of Hong Kong 100. You'd do the 100 distance, or would you do a shorter one?
I think I'll just be there in a journalistic capacity. Maybe I'll find a way to pace or crew somebody out there, but mostly to just cover the event.
Brilliant. Well, we can't wait to provide you a really warm welcome. And thanks for having me.
Before we go, also thanks to Kodiak Cakes for sponsoring this show. Head over to their website and use code SINGLETRACK15 at checkout for 15% off your next order. You've heard me talk about Kodiak since really the beginning of this show. They were an OG sponsor of Singletrack. But yeah, they make my favorite pancake mix. So head over to their site, grab a bag of their mix for yourself. I use it after long runs on the weekends. It's awesome. And use code SINGLETRACK15 at checkout, again, to get 15% off your next order.